Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Cindy. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, August 5th. Gas prices in Midland down 71 cents since record high. AAA Texas. Gas prices in Midland again trail drop in prices across state by Stuart Doreen. Gas prices in Midland again trail the drop in prices across the state, according to AAA Texas. In this week's report, the organization showed the average price of gasoline dropped 11 cents, which was 3 cents less than the decrease across the state. That continued the trend seen in the city for weeks. In fact, AAA Texas reports prices are down 57 cents in Midland over the last 5 weeks. The state average has dropped by 85 cents during the same period of time. AAA Texas also reported the average in Midland, $3.81, was the second highest of the 27 largest metropolitan areas. College Station Bryan's was the highest at $3.85. The state average this week was $3.64. AAA Texas reported crude prices are falling as the energy industry factors in a possible economic slowdown. Additionally, demand for gasoline fell week to week and regional supplies increased. Both factors are helping push retail fuel prices lower, according to AAA Texas. Texas has the lowest gas price average of any state in the country, according to gas prices. AAA.com said AAA Texas spokesperson Daniel Armbruster in this week's report. Across the region, Midland posted the highest price, 8 cents higher than Odessa, $3.73. Other prices across the region included $3.44 in Abilene, a decrease of 14 cents this week, $3.56 in Lubbock, a decrease of 19 cents, $3.57 in Amarillo, a decrease of 13 cents, $3.58 in El Paso, a decrease of 21 cents, and $3.67 in San Angelo, a decrease of 9 cents. The smallest weekly decrease in the state. AAA Texas also reported that the price compared to the same time in 2021 has increased 79 cents in Midland. The state average is up 80 cents during the same period. The price in Midland was also down 71 cents since June 11th, when a new record average in Midland was established, $4.52. The average across the state is down $1.06 since its record was established on June 15th. Peyton changes his mind on re-election bid. Mayor makes decision to not run for second term, by Stuart Doreen. Midland Mayor Patrick Peyton has announced he will not run for re-election in November. The decision, he said, followed walks through the neighborhood with his wife and discussions with her. All positive, he said, about family movement, business, and other matters related to another campaign and the dedication of 3 more years as Midland's mayor. Peyton made clear Thursday that he was not leaving Midland. Peyton first ran for mayor in 2019. Much of the term has been plagued by a once-in-generation pandemic. That turned the job of leading a booming West Texas community into dealing with COVID, negative oil, and everything that both impacted in the community. The mayor's position became as much about discussions about masks, pandemic governance, and serving as a leader on the Midland Unified Command Team as matters around City Hall. It was much more than I thought it was going to be, Peyton said. Everything that nobody could have dreamt or expected. The mayor's seat is one of 3 places on the November ballot. District 3 and 4 are the others. The sign-up period started on July 25th. The last day to put a name on a local ballot is August 22nd. In March, Peyton said he would seek another term. He talked then about the tens of millions of dollars that have and will be invested into city parks. He said then it was time to finish what the councils of the past and present have done to support Midland firefighters and police officers. He said then that roads and infrastructure would remain a priority. He also wanted to fulfill his vision for the creation of a Midland City Hall that will be known as the Chick-fil-A of City Halls, where developers and those doing business with the City of Midland won't find red tape or roadblocks. He said Thursday that he's comfortable that he's done what he was supposed to do. He also said that not running won't be that difficult, as he had not raised any money or even filed paperwork to be a candidate. Peyton still has a term to finish out and said Thursday he will serve on the board for Midland Firefighters Relief and Retirement Fund until problems with the fund are solved. The Field's Edge celebrates grand opening. Some of city's homeless population to live in new tiny house project in Southwest Midland by Ben Schaefer. The Field's Edge, a nonprofit organization, delivered on its motto, to cultivate home, by building a group of tiny houses to be inhabited by some of Midland's homeless population. The grand opening of the village was at 6701 Chola Road in Southwest Midland on Thursday. It was the culmination of many years of research and construction. The Field's Edge founder and chief executive officer John Mark Eccles first heard about a similar encampment for the homeless in Austin while doing volunteer work around 7 or 8 years ago. We went there to check it out and ended up going to live there for about 4 months. We trained and came back to replicate it since the middle of 2017, he said. There are 10 homes, 9 tiny homes, and 1 home where Eccles and his family will move into at the close-quartered neighborhood. Chief Operating Officer Benjamin Harvey says expansion is certainly in the minds of the Field's Edge leadership. Our 5 to 10 year plan is to have 10 pods. Each pod will have 10 homes. At the end, we'll have 90 tiny homes and 10 missional homes, he said. Eccles, a devout Christian, explained how his faith has driven him to pioneer this life-changing project. I encountered the homeless and knew they were my neighbors and that I needed to serve them. I wanted to serve them, he said. Then the Lord just kept putting things in front of my wife and I, just small steps of obedience, and next thing we knew, we're selling our house and moving into a travel trailer with our 18-month-old daughter and going off to build a tiny home community. The single-occupant homes will include a bed, sitting area, microwave, coffee pot, sink, air conditioner, and heater, with a separate room with a kitchen and bathing resources, according to Eccles. The reason for that is we want to facilitate interaction and community. At the root of homelessness is the fact that someone has been through something traumatic and had no support, and so the whole idea around this community is that it's about rebuilding those relationships, he said. The homes all face each other and have front porches to create opportunities for new neighbors to socialize. Though Eccles has created this community, he had a simple explanation for why other areas of the country haven't. It's really hard, he said. The most challenging aspect is land and casting the vision in a community. A big part of the work is education in the community and making people realize it's not as simple as they think. Eccles does believe that more areas who have the benefit of vast land will begin to investigate similar projects for those in need. During his brief speech, Eccles thanked the community for the support they've shown him and his family over the 6-year journey of turning his vision into reality. Eccles also said there were note cards on a desk in front of each house if the attendees wanted to write an encouraging message to the home's new inhabitants, and mentioned that this grand opening was just the beginning of what he and his organization had planned for the future. Today feels like the finish line, but actually the starting line. Now the work really begins. Now the fun really begins in the community we've been working toward, he said. Habitat and Pioneer partner to build house on Southeast Side. Midland Habitat for Humanity dedicated its 181st house in program history last week, continuing the nonprofit's commitment to building affordable housing in one of the most expensive markets in the country to buy and develop land. Construction of the house, located in the 800 block of Wolfberry Court on the city's southeast side, was funded by Pioneer Natural Resources. It's the fifth house the company has dedicated with the Midland Agency. Habitat is very blessed to have wonderful community partners like Pioneer, and we are very thankful for their donation, said Joey Hopkins, the organization's executive director. Pioneer has been a faithful partner for many years, and through their partnership, countless lives have been changed by the transformational power of home ownership. Since it was established in 1991, Habitat is among a handful of local organizations that have led the way in building affordable housing in the Permian Basin. Habitat uses what it calls a partnership model to help deserving, hardworking families realize the dream of home ownership. Each participant in the program contributes at least 350 hours of sweat equity at the work site and completes a home ownership education program. Successful candidates are then awarded a 0% interest mortgage. With its exploration operations solely based in the Permian Basin, Pioneer has been able to forge a lasting relationship with Midland Habitat for Humanity. In addition to dedicating five houses since its partnership began in 2012, Pioneer and its employees have given hundreds of thousands of dollars to the agency and contributed thousands of hours in labor to help make home ownership attainable for some of the neediest families in the Permian Basin. The company is planning another home build for the fall. Last November, Pioneer donated more than 35 acres of land to the nonprofit, valued at nearly $2 million. The gift marked the largest land donation Midland Habitat for Humanity had ever received. Habitat is the most effective organization in the Permian Basin in partnering with families to provide financial literacy and home ownership, said Emily Staten Smith, Vice President of Habitat for Humanity's Board of Directors and Associate General Counsel at Pioneer Natural Resources. Pioneer has consistently provided land, funding, and volunteers to Habitat as our city continues to find solutions for rising home and mortgage costs. Together, we are changing families in the Permian Basin in meaningful and long-lasting ways, she added. Midland are involved in Sam's Club attack of Asian family gets 25 years in prison, by Mercedes Cordero. A 21-year-old Midlander who attacked an Asian family he believed was responsible for the COVID-19 pandemic because he believed them to be Chinese was sentenced Thursday to 25 years in prison on hate crime charges, according to the United States Attorney's Office, Western District of Texas. Jose Gomez III pleaded guilty on February 23rd to three counts of committing a hate crime. On March 14, 2020, Gomez entered Sam's Club and followed the family and their two young children because he perceived them to be a threat, as they were from the country who started spreading that disease around, end quote, according to court documents. Gomez briefly left the family to grab a serrated steak knife from the store and bent the blade so that when he held the handle in his fist, the blade rested against his knuckles, sharp edge facing outward. Gomez then returned to the family and punched the father in the face, cutting him. Gomez then left the scene, only to retrieve an 8-inch knife from the store. When Gomez returned, he abruptly went to the 2- and 6-year-old children seated in the front basket of the shopping cart. Gomez slashed open the 6-year-old's face. The blade entered millimeters from the child's right eye, split his right ear, and wrapped around to the back of his skull. Gomez also stabbed a Sam's Club employee who intervened to stop Gomez from further assaulting the family. While being held down on the ground, Gomez yelled at the family, "Get out of America." Gomez admitted after his attack that he believed the family was Chinese, and he blamed them for the COVID-19 pandemic. Gomez also admitted he had attempted to kill the 6-year-old child and attack the store employee because he prevented him from killing the child. "Mr. Gomez's cowardly and racially motivated actions do not represent our West Texas community," said Special Agent in Charge Jeffrey R. Downey of the FBI El Paso field office. It is our hope today's sentence will help the victims with the healing process. Rest assured, the FBI and our law enforcement partners will aggressively pursue anyone who commits these violent acts to ensure the civil rights of all Americans are protected. Road construction by Midland High continues by Tim Fisher. Road construction continues in central Midland near Midland High School. According to the City of Midland, the work along Illinois Avenue is part of the 2017 bond program. The first segment is from A Street to C Street and will be completed by Monday, which will allow for access to Midland High on the first day of school. The remaining segments are scheduled to be completed by the summer of 2023. Illinois Avenue will continue to be closed to through traffic during the construction period, but access to local businesses and residents will remain accessible throughout the construction. Encore reports $60 million boost in profits during Texas summer heat wave by Irene Wright, the Dallas Morning News. Dallas-Fort Worth's searing summer heat is boosting the bottom line of Encore, the state's largest regulated utility, by $60 million for the three-month period that ended June 30th. Dallas-based Encore's quarterly profit soared to $229 million, up from $169 million during the same months last year, as sweltering temperatures drove electricity demand to new highs. The quarterly results didn't even include July, which was one of the region's hottest months on record. Encore doesn't sell electricity directly to consumers. Instead, it makes money by delivering it through power lines, and customers pay for that service based on their usage, meaning higher demand translates directly to higher revenue for Encore. It has been a great quarter, and I am so proud of our financial and operational performance, said Encore CEO Alan Nye in a statement. The second quarter brought on record heat, beginning one of the hottest summers here in Texas in recent memory. That heat has led to several new peak demand records, with ERCO peak demand of nearly 80,000 megawatts for the first time in July. Our vibrant and growing market will require new generation, transmission, and distribution resources, and Encore stands ready to make the investments necessary to support the needs of our market and our growing state. Aside from higher power use, Encore outlined updates to its transmission and distribution rates, invested capital, customer growth, and increased operation as contributing factors to the profits. We added 19,000 additional premises and saw a 73% increase in new transmission point of interconnection requests in the second quarter, Nye said. This represents an all-time record. Obituaries and death notices from the MRT for Friday. Don Kaufman, 57, passed away on July 28th. Don is survived by husband Larry Kinneman, daughter Jordan Lang, and husband Justin, and two grandsons. A celebration of Don's life will be held at 4 p.m. on Saturday, August 6th, at Willowbrook Funeral Home Chapel in Midland, with Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell officiating. To place online condolences and read full obituary, please visit www.willowbrk.com. Barbara Morgan, 91, of Midland, passed away August 3rd. The family will receive guests from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, August 6th, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Mary Catherine Garrett, age 87, of Odessa, passed away August 3rd. As per her wishes, cremation services have been arranged, and a private memorial will be scheduled for a later date. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com. Micah Matthew Matlock, 34, of Midland, passed away Tuesday, August 2nd. Viewing will be Friday, August 5th from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., with an evening service to begin at 6 p.m. at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home in Midland. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LuallenGarciaPipkinFH.com. Norma Lewis, age 77, of Midland, went to be with the Lord on August 3rd. A visitation will be held August 9th at Macedonia Baptist Church, starting at 10 a.m., with the funeral service to start at 12 noon. Interment will immediately follow at Fairview Cemetery. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Friday, August 5th, 2022. Section A. Murray reports great news coming on ratings by Ruth Campbell. Although he wouldn't go into specifics, Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray said predictions are that this will be a good year for state accountability ratings. He didn't want to give details because the data is still being adjusted at the state level. The Texas Education Agency will release ratings publicly August 15th. In fact, yesterday the state updated data once again, and it changed our numbers again. And until the process is finished on the 15th, I'm not going to release anything because it continues to change. And we saw that once again yesterday, Murray said in a phone interview Thursday. But he added that August 15th will be great news for this community and for our district. And it will truly be the best that we've ever been. It's going to be pretty remarkable. We're excited about it. In 2021-22, state accountability was modified, so there will not be any D or F schools in the state of Texas, because the only schools that are being rated are schools that received an A, B, or C. Once again, the commissioner made some adjustments with the accountability system because of the pandemic, Murray said. Over the last 2 years, we've had an accountability system that has been deeply impacted by the pandemic, and therefore they've made adjustments, so there won't be any D or F schools in Texas, Murray added. There will be some schools that are not rated, but the A's, B's, and C's are the only ratings that will be given this year. Schools that earned an A, B, or C grade will be recorded and published, but Murray said those that did not will be considered unrated. If they were rated, they would have been either a D or an F, he said. Districts will be rated this year based upon the success of individual schools. Overall, in the last ratings in 2019, ECISD was a C district. There may be some that are not rated because of performance. The pandemic situation could affect some districts. I know that our district will receive a rating. I do know that. That will be public on the 15th. We're even watching as new data continues to be entered into the system. Those ratings continue to change and will change up until the final pieces of data are submitted. Next year, there are going to be some revisions. TEA is looking at making some adjustments. There will be some new tests and a new way of thinking about accountability for next year, so that body of work is happening. It will still be an A through F, but some new formulas, if you will, that will be used to calculate A through F. That will be for 22 and 23, Murray said. He said, you can't tell what it's going to look like yet, but there will be adjustments. At convocation August 2nd, staff members got a big picture projection. We don't want to talk about specific schools because today, as new data arrived at the state level, or was submitted yesterday. We even saw some more changes from yesterday to today based upon new data that the state provided. So we want to be very thoughtful in not giving people wrong information. And so we shared kind of a big overview. We know we've had three incredible years of hard work on the part of teachers and principals and 4,200 staff members. We know that our results are going to be much better than they've ever been before. But when it comes down to minute details, we want to be very cautious until every I is dotted and T is crossed before we release specifics, Murray said. Convocation was really a shout out to staff members. We wanted convocation this year to be a pep rally event and really celebrate our folks. That's why we did it at Ratliff Stadium, really creating that atmosphere in which people can see and hear about the good work that they've done. The highest graduation rate in 20 years, the kindergarten readiness, all of these indicators that are evidence of the hard work that people have done. So we wanted to celebrate that with them and let them know that their work is paying off for the kids that we serve, Murray said. He said they shared some specific data with those at convocation, but they were things they already know and can validate, like an 85.5% graduation rate, the highest in over 20 years. Kindergarten preparedness, rising 13 percentage points in 1 year. And college, career, and military readiness, tying the state at 63%, the highest it's ever been. Those are specific data points which are valid, reliable, and we've accomplished them. And so those are the specific numbers we shared with folks. Then we gave them a big picture overview from a state accountability perspective, just kind of the colors. We're going to have a lot of really nice colors. Blue is the color we're using for the letter grade A. So there will be a lot more blues than greens and healthy colors than we've ever had before. So that's the picture we painted for folks Tuesday night, Murray said. TEA Commissioner Mike Morath was invited to speak at Leadership University a couple of weeks ago. He spoke live with all of the leaders in the district a couple of weeks ago, and so we showed our staff a clip of his comments, and really he commended the work of the teachers. He talked about how he'd never seen this before. He's been the commissioner for almost 7 years in Texas, and this kind of progress just hasn't been made in West Texas, but it's happening now, and that's really good news for this community and for the kids who go to school here. It's a remarkable change, Murray said. It's a different kind of story. It's the right kind of story. Kids in our community deserve to have high-quality educational experiences. They have to have that to be successful in life. We're giving that to them, and our data indicate that, Murray added. But he noted that they aren't resting on their laurels. We have a lot of work left to do. We are by no means where we want to be. But we are heading in the right direction, and our data, all of our indicators are giving us that message. And so our community should be very proud of the 4,200 people who are part of this team that makes learning happen every day for kids, Murray said. ECISD selects new transportation director by Ruth Campbell. Starting off as a bus driver, LaTanya Brooks has risen through the ranks to take on the job of Ector County ISD Transportation Director. Brooks had been Transportation Director at Joshua ISD and started in Odessa July 1st. She replaces Roger Clear, who retired. Joshua has about 6,000 students. Brooks said she's basically doing the same job here as in Joshua, but transportation was contracted there through First Student, which provides transportation throughout the state. Going back to school later in life, Brooks said the idea of going into transportation formed when she and her mother were driving by a bus and saw they were hiring. Hailing from Little Rock, Arkansas, she got her CDL and drove for a couple of years, finished her bachelor's degree at Arkansas Baptist University, and her master's from Webster University, both in public administration. Before that, she was raising her family. I have three girls. I have a 29, 27, and a 23. So I waited until my youngest was in the eighth grade before I went back to school. Now I have two grandkids, but at that particular time, I had one grandkid that I was helping with. It was a lot going on, Brooks said. Initially, she thought she wanted to be a teacher, but once she went for her degree in public administration, she figured she could always go back to get her teaching certification. But when she started in transportation, she realized it was her passion, making sure the students made their way to and from school safely and on time. Brooks grew up with four brothers, and she was a middle child. But I'm the mama. I tell everybody what to do, she said. Brooks got remarried in 2019 to her husband, Stephen. He is a hotshot driver. Both are from Arkansas. Her sorority sister and her husband are first cousins, so her sorority sister introduced them. She is a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. Brandon Reyes, executive director of district operations, said Brooks is a forward thinker, customer service focused leader. She worked her way up through the ranks of student transportation, beginning her career as a bus driver, moving up to dispatcher, and then location manager. Transportation employees have irregular work schedules, which can make college challenging. Mrs. Brooks obtained her master's degree in public administration while she was a transportation employee. She was selected from a field of seven highly qualified candidates. We are very excited to have her as part of our team, Reyes said. Quick hits. All campus night of worship. Crossroads, 6901 East Highway 191, has scheduled all campus night of worship, 7 p.m. today. Child care will be provided. Visit tinyurl.com/5n9ykc65. Movies in the Park. The Odessa Parks and Recreation has scheduled Movie in the Park featuring Clifford the Big Red Dog starting at dark today at Floyd Gwynn Park. Bring chairs, blankets, and snacks. Concession will be available. The movie is free and open to the public. The movie can be rescheduled, moved, or canceled due to any weather or any other complication. Visit tinyurl.com/HMUZZUSU. Latin Kings of Comedy. Latin Kings of Comedy, the 20th anniversary tour, has been scheduled for 9 p.m. today at Club Patron, 5850 West University. Featured comedians will be Paul Rodriguez, Johnny Sanchez, Dennis Gagiola, Gilbert Esquivel, and Joey Medina. General admission is $55, VIP ticket is $70, and VIP table, seats 8, is $500. Must be 21 and older to attend. For tickets, table, or more information, visit tinyurl.com/2v39cjns. Summer Mummers. The Midland Community Theater has scheduled the 74th season of Summer Mummers, Game of Homes, A Song of Dirtland. Performances will take place each Friday and Saturday through September 3rd at the Yucca Theater, 208 North Colorado, in Midland. Attendees must be 21 or older with a valid ID to purchase and consume alcohol. For tickets or more information, summermummers.com. PB Fair and Expo. the 40th annual Permian Basin Fair and Expo celebrating the red, white, and blue has been scheduled for September 2nd through 11th at the Ector County Coliseum, 4201 Andrews Highway. There will be music, carnival, petting zoo, Miss Permian Basin Fair Scholarship Pageant, Little Miss and Junior Miss Basin Fair, talent show, tractor pulls, dog extravaganza, oil burners, farming and ranching shows, creative arts, food vendors, and more. Vendor booth space is available. Go online for entry forms, tickets, event schedule, or more information. Call 432-550-3232 or visit pbfair.com. Midland College presents AJ Castillo Concert. Join the MC Student Activities Department for this special free MC 50th Anniversary Concert featuring hit Latin artist AJ Castillo live in person at 7 p.m. August 26th at the Al G. Langford Chaparral Center on the Midland College campus. Opening performance provided by Midlander and award-winning teen Tejano star Tristan Ramos. The entire community is invited. Tickets are not required. However, there is limited seating. Doors open at 6 p.m. Complimentary access wristbands will be available at the doors. Attendees may purchase items from some of Midland's most popular food trucks located in the Shap Center parking lot at door number 1. No outside food or drinks permitted. More information about the concert can be found at www.midland.edu/AJ Castillo. Please refer to the Al G. Langford Chaparral Center webpage for venue policies and guidelines. Castillo is a Latin artist known for his unique accordion sound and style, his energetic performances, and his extraordinary custom accordions. He has introduced a fresh new sound that expands the boundaries of accordion music and has become a well-known accordionist, singer, songwriter, performer, and producer. He collaborated on the 2017 Latin Grammy Award-winning Best Regional Song, Siempre Es Así. Ramos, a Midland native, is the youngest male artist to win a Tejano Music Award at the age of 13 and the youngest to have performed at Vegas Tejano Music Week in Las Vegas. He is also the youngest to have his own record label and the youngest to be endorsed by an accordion company, music company, and hat company. Meal applications wanted. The ECISD School Nutrition Department announced Thursday a change to its policy for serving meals to children served under the National School Lunch Program and School Breakfast Program for the 2022-23 school year. The Universal Free Feeding Program provides breakfast and lunch to all children at no charge. The ability of Ector County ISD to offer this special alternative rests upon the success in receiving a completed application for free and reduced price meals for the National School Lunch Program and School Breakfast Program from the STEM Academy households. Apply online by visiting www.schoolcafe.com/Ector County. Contact Christy Bartlett, Application Specialist, at 432-456-9749 for any questions about the online application. Paper applications are available upon request at the School Nutrition Department and at the STEM Academy campus. Completed applications should be returned to the following locations: Ector County ISD School Nutrition Department. Attention, Christy Bartlett, Application Specialist. School Nutrition Department, The STEM Academy, 4940 South Road, Odessa, 79762. 1120 West 10th, Odessa, 79763. Phone 432-456-9749. Email christy.bartlett@ectorcountyisd.org. On the net, tinyurl.com/4EFRHF2X. OC invites the public to first annual Back to School Expo. Odessa College will have its first Back to School Expo as they celebrate the beginning of the school year and honor first responders and public servants. The event will be from 6 to 8 p.m. August 16th at Woodson Park, 1020 East Murphy. The evening's festivities are free and will feature live music, food, fun, and entertaining activities. For anyone interested in a career as a first responder or in public service, information and demonstrations related to those and other career fields will be available. Expo attendees also will have the opportunity to speak firsthand with those who are currently serving as first responders or in other public service careers. Odessa College representatives also will be on hand to discuss opportunities for new and returning students to take advantage of reskilling grants, scholarships, and financial aid, including how college can be free, a news release said. On the net, odessa.edu. Local news roundup. Two dead following Midland wreck. Two men were killed in a two-vehicle crash 3 miles south of Midland early Wednesday morning. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, James William Featherston, 38, of Oglesby, was traveling east on County Road 140 in a Dodge Ram 2500 when he failed to yield the right-of-way at State Highway 349. Jose Alvarez Castillo, 55, of Midland, who was traveling south on State Highway 349 in a Freightliner truck tractor, struck Featherston, and both vehicles came to rest in a borrowed ditch on the east side of State Highway 349. The Freightliner burned completely, and the front end of the Dodge Ram also burned. Man accused of making sexual calls to teen. A 49-year-old Midland man is in the Ector County Jail accused of making multiple sexually explicit phone calls to a 15-year-old girl. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a woman came into the police station last month and explained to officers that since June 9th, the teenager has been receiving calls at all hours of the night from several unidentified local phone numbers. The woman explained to officers that initially the girl said she'd answer the calls, but no one would speak. Eventually, she stopped answering the calls, but the caller then began to leave voicemails that described what he wanted to do to her. When the woman listened to the messages, she told officers she immediately recognized the voice as that of Patrocinio Saenz, and she recognized one of the phone numbers as his. According to the report, the woman told officers the messages were very inappropriate, degrading, and very sexually explicit. Saenz answered the phone when officers called one of the numbers, but denied all of the allegations made against him, saying the woman and her family have never liked him, the report stated. He also said his phone must have been hacked. Saenz was booked on suspicion of online solicitation of a minor, a felony. He remains in custody on a $10,000 surety bond. Odessa man uninjured in fatal crash. A 64-year-old Crockett man was killed Tuesday afternoon following a four-vehicle crash 20 miles outside Kermit. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Jimmy Paul Walker was traveling east on State Highway 302 in a Ford F-250 when he traveled into the westbound lane, sideswiping a Ford F-350 being driven by a 25-year-old man from Hobbs, New Mexico. The driver of a Dodge Ram 3500, a 30-year-old man from Odessa, took evasive action to the right and sideswiped Walker. Walker then collided with a Volvo truck tractor with trailer being driven by a 45-year-old man from Leveland. Walker was pronounced dead at the scene. All of the drivers were wearing seatbelts. Everyone but Walker emerged unscathed, according to DPS. Signals to go live at Highway 385 and North Loop 338. The traffic signals on U.S. Highway 385 at Loop 338 in northern Ector County will go into full operation today. The signals are part of a project to build an overpass that takes Loop 338 over Highway 385. The overpass has been in use for a few weeks, and the remaining work on the project should have very little effect on traffic flow, a news release said. The signals should be activated after the morning rush hour. All lanes on Highway 385 will be opened as well. Motorists are asked to exercise extreme caution in the area as the transition is being made. State law requires motorists to obey any warning signs in the area. If possible, find alternate routes to avoid confusion in the area as conditions are changed. Jones Brothers Dirt and Paving of Odessa won the project with a low bid of a little more than $25.3 million. PPDC partners to meet safety needs of Permian Basin. Midland. The Midland College Petroleum Professional Development Center, PPDC, will participate in Excavation Safety Day presented by the Damage Prevention Council of Texas. The date of August 11th conveniently coincides with the phone number to call 811 before you dig. The Safety Day will be held in Monahans at the Ward County Event Center, 1525 East Monahans Parkway, starting at 8 a.m. It is open to the public and there is no cost to attend, a news release said. The PPDC will present information about the center's Risk Management Institute safety courses and will have information available regarding Permian Basin STEPS, Service Transmission Exploration and Production Safety Network. The PPDC hosts monthly STEPS meetings on the Midland College main campus in the Scarber Student Center Carrasco Room at 8:30 a.m. on the second Tuesday of each month. Permian Basin STEPS representatives will be present at the Safety Day event in Monahans. Partnering with Texas 811 for Excavation Safety Day is a great opportunity for the PPDC to extend our community outreach with the Damage Prevention Council of Texas and STEPS, while bringing our safety and risk management classes to the public, Aaron Van Ivera Welch, director of the Midland College PPDC, explained in the release. Our classes are open to the Permian Basin community, and we provide continuing education for everyone, not just those who work directly in the petroleum industry. Virtual reality camp, a hit with kids. Participants in the VR camp at Odessa College got a firsthand taste of what it takes to assemble a virtual reality headset. The virtual reality camp was one of many held this summer at OC. There were five youngsters in attendance Thursday at the Fab Lab. Today, we're assembling a cardboard VR headset to be used with a mobile device, Assistant Fab Lab Director and Camp Instructor Danielle Collins said. It's based off kind of like the early Google Cardboard when they came out with that design. We're also building our own VR games and doing coding and some 3D visuals and stuff like that so that they can actually download an app and test it through the headset. The campers can take the VR headsets home, and Collins said they operate with other VR apps. Collins said this is a new camp this year. We've been doing research and getting supplies and that stuff since the spring, so it's kind of like a work in progress. The idea originated because kids asked for a camp, Collins said. She noted that VR is a big interest right now. The camp's age range is 12 to 16. I think they've really enjoyed it. We've been kind of working on the computer for the past 3 days, and they've been building their own games and actually going through coding, animations, and camera transitions, and just like full game mechanics. It's pretty cool, Collins said. David Benitez, a 16-year-old junior at Montessori Mastery School of Odessa, said he signed up for the camp mostly out of interest in 3D things. I've been trying to learn that for a while, and I just have to have the motivation or drive to continue it. It can be really rewarding, but it can be really confusing at times as well, Benitez said. He has enjoyed the VR camp a lot and had participated in the Nuts, Bolts, and Thingamajigs camp a couple weeks ago. I had tons of fun there, and I had already signed up for this camp before in, like, late June, alongside the NBT camp. So I was just really excited, Benitez said. Fab Lab Director Adriana Moreno said the camps have been really great this year. We've launched two new camp types, including the VR camp and our space camp that we did in a partnership with Nuts, Bolts, and Thingamajigs. They're an organization that supports students entering or getting interested in the manufacturing and entrepreneurship fields, Moreno said. Other camps were held, again, with new project types. Planning for next year needs to start almost right away, Moreno said, especially because we want to really capture our notes and feedback to ourselves on anything that we might change, she added. Creating the camps and making sure the youngsters are engaged takes a lot of planning, as does acquiring the materials. We also create our account, like our entire Fab Lab calendar. We schedule pretty far out, and so we want to go ahead and log our dates down as soon as we get a chance, Moreno said. She added that she always likes to remind people that the Fab Lab is open to the public. The summer camps are just one of the many options that we have for people coming to us and being able to use this technology and learn with us. So they are always welcome to come by, check this place out. It's a really unique resource that we have here in the Permian Basin, Moreno said. Ticket. Weekend entertainment guide for the Permian Basin. Farewell Tour. Robert Earl Keen will be performing at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, 8 p.m. August 26th. For tickets and more information, visit tinyurl.com/2ESU7U5A. Masterworks is coming back. The West Texas Symphony's Masterworks Series returns September 10th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Visit tinyurl.com/BDZNHD8R for more information. Have you seen the show yet? This week is the last chance to see the SpongeBob SquarePants musical at Permian Playhouse with shows Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Get your tickets at tinyurl.com/3WJSFZ8H. Bitter Water Band to Play at the Destination by Michael Bauer. Probably not many bands in the area have gone through the same number of transitions and obstacles as the Bitter Water Band. But nearly 4 years after the group's founding, the local band has found itself on stable ground as the group of four members continues its normal schedule of gigs around not only the Permian Basin, but also all over Texas and New Mexico. Bitterwater will continue its performance schedule by returning to the Destination for a performance scheduled for 8 p.m. Saturday in Midland. The band was founded by Jeffrey Rogers and his son Caleb Rogers back in 2018. Caleb was playing a lot of guitar and I was writing, Jeffrey said. I got to talking to him one day and was like, hey, why don't you play guitar for me a little while and we'll put some rhythms behind the stuff that I've written and we'll see how it works out. That's kind of how it all started. As the band got started, there were normal growing pains, and Jeffrey said that included a few mistakes. For me, I like to do everything fast, Rogers said. My wife was telling me that I run through everything and make mistakes and learn from those mistakes and grow really fast. It's painful because you run through it pretty fast, but you get further down the road much quicker than everybody else. That's basically what we did. Rogers would look for other members, including a bass guitar player and drummer, but he described the process as hit and miss. We didn't know any other musicians from around the area, Rogers said, so we started going to music stores and reaching out to other folks. He eventually found a bass player in Andrew Carey. Jeffrey, Caleb, and Carey all came together and started working on some of the original songs that Jeffrey had written. Occasionally, the band would add a new member here or there. It just didn't work, Rogers said. It's a crazy world with music and everything. There are a lot of characters out there. We went through a lot of folks like that who had different ideas, or they'd be really on fire for what we were doing and then never hear from them again. It would disappear off the radar. It went on like that for about 2 years. Carey would eventually join Treaty Oak Revival, and the band continued to see new members come and go. I was feeling pretty defeated, Rogers said. I was thinking, man, I'm never going to get this band together and find the guys that will go the distance and have the same drive and passion that I have. It got pretty dark there. That darkness only lasted about a week. Around this time last year, Jeffrey reached out to Jeff Derby, and it wasn't long before the drummer came in on a permanent position. I'm liking the fact that we have the freedom to create our own West Texas style of country, Derby said. It's a lot of rock and roll, a little country, a little jazz, and it's fun being in a band where you can experiment and try different things. We have some endings that are pretty intense, and I really like that. It's great having the ability to do that with these guys. Then Derby called guitarist Mike Camden, and soon a new backbone for Bitterwater had been formed. I'm enjoying it, Camden said of his time with Bitterwater. It's been a blast. It's been kind of a whirlwind. It's blown up so much so fast. It's incredible. Once we picked up our producer, Matt Smith, he's been a huge amount of help. He knows how to pick things apart and how to break the rules, but make everything still sound good. However, not before another change, as Jeffrey said Caleb would soon drop out of the band to take a job in the oil field. But his son remains in the background. He's always cheering us on, Jeffrey said. Every now and then he'll give us a call and say, hey, I wrote this rhythm, and we'll collaborate on some stuff. He's always there in the background. I wish we had him back full time, but he's making lots of money in the oil field and being that guy. David Segovia would soon join on bass guitar. Since then, the band has been able to play at numerous gigs throughout the area and beyond. Well, we usually like to play every weekend, anywhere from Lubbock to Dallas to Oklahoma City to San Antonio, Jeffrey said. We're trying to move out and spread out. Right now, it's just Midland, Odessa, Big Spring. We're playing a show in Rio Doce, New Mexico, September 17th. They're doing a big benefit, and we're playing with a lot of other bands. We're excited about that. Camden talked about how the group gets to experiment when it comes to writing. As far as writing the songs, I've been getting to experiment with a lot of different techniques and things like that, Camden said. Writing guitar solos and putting things together has been one of my favorite parts. The group is looking forward to playing at this week's gig in Midland. Playing at the Destination, it's a living art exhibit that you can walk through and sit on and have a beer, Derby said. It just has this wonderful vibe of being inside, but you're outside. It's a brilliant venue. It's my favorite. If you go, the Bitterwater Band, 8 p.m. Saturday at the Destination.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.